Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about medical intuitive. What is the body? Is it energy? Is it this dense, heavy bag of bones that I've been carrying around? And I don't understand what you're talking about. This is my body. This is me. This is all I know. Okay? So what we're going to be talking about today is, who am I? What am I? Is the body made out of energy? Is it something that needs to be fixed? Is it something that needs to be cured? Or is it something that needs to be healed? And how does all of that work together? Because so many people are saying now, I go to the doctor, he takes care of it, it's no big deal. That's one mantra. Another, I went to the doctor, he couldn't fix me, and I went to alternative healthcare, and now I'm working with them. But now, even still, I'm still hitting the wall. And what the heck? Who knows? Am I thinking this way? Am I eating wrong? Am I living in the wrong place? What is really going on with my body and the way things are working out for me? Today, my guest is Jan Merrill. She is a medical intuitive, author of the book Energy 101, The Key to Understanding Holistic Health, and she'll be sharing quite a few of her thoughts on these topics. Jan, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette. I appreciate and I'm honored to be here with you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. You know, I think, Jan, so many people these days are saying, I don't even know what the heck it is anymore. I think I'm going to lay down on the floor and just say, have at it, you know, right?
I think that telling someone to lay down on the floor and meditate is a good idea. Because that's where all the answers will lie, on
yeah.
the inside. So that's a good choice of words.
What diet is going to fix me? What's going to cure this? What's going to heal that? And everything we've been told about our body and the way in which it performs, what we have control over, what our energy body is all about, is really misconstrued by many venues in society these days. And once you toss it up to social media, hey, it's good for the grabs. Everybody's got their own opinion, right?
Everybody does have their own opinion. I can't argue with you there.
You know, I think that, so what do you think that is really going on? I mean, if we have looked at our paradigm, you know, growing up maybe in the early 1900s, and we were taught one thing, the doctor knows everything, and then all of a sudden now we're turning around and we're saying, oh, no, you can take control of your health. How did we get from there to here?
Well, we're on a path to higher consciousness, which is a very good thing from my perspective. You know, a lot of people in the world still believe that the doctors know it all, and they still choose to give their power away to medical knowledge, which from my perspective is somewhat limited. Because if you look at what doctors do, really, you know, they either can cut it out or they can give you some form of medication. Or, and here's where I think they're really needed, is they can fix a bone. You know, if you break a bone, they can do what's necessary to get your structure in good working order. And I think that they are very useful there. But to go to the doctor and actually think that you're going to get cured, permanently cured from an illness or a disease, I think is barking up the wrong tree, because I think all they do is suppress your symptoms.
We also, too, look at a lot of times, I know myself being naturopathic physician, we always deal in getting to the root cause. And root cause is this medical test imbalanced? Is it, do you have some blockage? Do you need chiropractic? Do you need acupuncture? Do you need herbal medicine? Do you need food and diet? Look at your spiritual life. Turn around and look at your intake of nutrition. And we look at all these different things and we say they're all pieces and parts of a puzzle. And sometimes when we look at that, we say, is all of that part of the puzzle? In which dimension is that in? Because so we get locked up in one or the other, and we stay there, and we say, this is going to fix things. And then you really get stuck again, right?
A lot of times you do, because your level of root cause that you've just been discussing is really an interim level from my perspective. Because the physical level is not where I see the root cause. I see us as energetic beings. I see us as spirits having a physical experience, but it's a projected reality. We're made of light and consciousness, and we project out the physicality that we experience. And so I see the whole system as connected, holistic, as one thing. So when I look at chiropractic or acupuncture, I think, and oftentimes I will say, as a medical intuitive channeling, I channel the spirit guides and the angels while I'm scanning the energy field and doing the guided healing work, and they often will recommend chiropractic or acupuncture or something along those lines. That's an option. It's something that you could consider doing to help you along. Is it always the end-all, be-all answer? No. For instance, I have chiropractors that refer clients to me, and I find that when they cut the energetic cords coming out of their hips and their back, that they often find relief without ever having to go for a physical adjustment.
Mm-hmm. Well, we look at that a lot of times. I've done adjustments in the past many times on clients, and what I've found is, many times people would say, okay, it'll hold for a little while, and, oh, I got home and it kind of came out again. Can I come back? And we think about it and we say, the physical body is a collection of muscles, tissues, cells, lots of fluid, some bones, and it's all into this sac called our skin, and it's supposed to mesh and flow with the world around you. In other words, if I go to stand up, everything kind of joins together to have a communication and being able to move in that progression. And we think then we don't feel well, everything moves in another area, and it says I don't feel well, and things are trying to self-help and be able to heal their own body, then we say sometimes it's come to a wall and we can't help our own self. And the body says, okay, I'm kind of stuck. I need a little bit help here. So there's all kinds of different conversations we can have along the continuum, because really from the idea of this is just the body, I know nothing about it, but I push on it, it hurts, I let go and it doesn't, concept, all the way up to the energetic you speak about on the radio, and it's really a very long continuum of where someone might be and how they can get help in the place they're in. I mean, some people who are very much disconnected from how the body might even work or even care or even think about it find it a great leap to be able to go to your side. And then some of the people that have been, very much on the awakening spiritual path find it very difficult to go back to the other side and say, oh, this is just a physical body. This is what it is. Don't you think?
I do. I totally agree with you there. It depends on where you're at in terms of your thinking.
Right.
It all comes down to thoughts and beliefs. And a lot of people are on automatic in life, and they don't really have time to get to know their body, to communicate with their body. And so when something goes wrong, they just want to find quick relief and find somebody that will fix them.
Right.
And then you have a whole different set of people who, again, are more connected to the holistic nature and understand that if something's going wrong, there's a message in there about maybe they're out of balance in some way. For instance, in the work that I do, the first thing that comes to mind is breast cancer. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I find time and time again when I'm scanning the energy field and I see that the energy is blocked in the what I call the heart-lung area between the fourth chakra, which is the heart, and the throat chakra. That's the nurture center, what I call the nurture center. And when we have a block on that left side, a very heavy block on that left side, it tells me that people are giving, and usually this is women. They're givers. They give and give and give and give, and they just don't receive. And they're mm-hmm. very out of balance with the giving and receiving. And usually when breast cancer arises, it's because the scale is tipped over. They've just gone too far, and the body is screaming at them, you know, stop it. You know, you've got to get, life is for giving and receiving, get yourself into balance. And I've never met anybody with breast cancer that didn't agree that they gave much more, not only much more than they're receiving, but that they have hardly allowed themselves to receive and are just constant givers, and they think that's the way you need to be in life to be a good person.
Yeah, I hear that quite often. I had a guest on who would speak about, she called herself a survivor after breast cancer, and she still was holding up a, I would call it like more like a mantra card, you know, of her, where she was or what she went through. And I think sometimes she was so indebted to that card that she was holding that I'm not so sure. You know how, I mean, you know, you go through something and you hold it up and you're like staunch there. And then you're kind of like in watchful waiting, is like, is it going to come back? Is it not going to come back? What
right.
did I do? Or,
right.
oh, I'm going to fight the fight. And in all manners, I'm going to fight the fight because I already fought the fight. There's no way they're going to dare come up and show me up again or to show up in my body again. I think so that sometimes, you know, people with a, it's almost like they're holding a poster in their hand saying, this is me, this is my dogma, this is my belief.
Right.
And they get stuck. Yes.
Absolutely. The getting stuck is something you see all the time. You know, it's sometimes it's not easy to move on, and you get stuck in what is, and you get stuck in the past, and then when you do, you're bound to repeat because you're actually creating it in the now moment. And whatever you're focusing on, you're creating, and if you hold a focus long enough, it's going to be your reality. So in order to move on, you have to let go. Let go, move on,
right.
renew. but these are things we need to learn. We need to be mindful of this. And
mm-hmm.
who's there to teach us these things?
Right. I think you and I, our conversations we're having right now is new to a lot of people. It's not something that you can go out and someone can sit down and teach you, or a class or a course, or all of these different things, because really it is an individual process in the first place. Really what we speak about is guidance along the way versus having a template of this is how you follow it, this is what you, quote, must do to get to the other side. You know, because I think when we start to say that, then we kind of silo people into follow me as I do, and then they expect to be a clone of you. Do you know what I'm saying? And we find that when people start to do that, it kind of gets stuck in the way because then their power is given away to make decisions or their free will or to be able to even engage in the experience in the first place. You know, sometimes people get stuck and they say, oh, someone else is going to fix me. This is the other way. And then they get stuck in it. And then they just don't have any responsibility or any interaction with their life, yes?
Absolutely. But it would be nice if we lived in a different society, you know, way back when Atlantis and those times, the secret mystery schools taught, you know, how to create positive energy, how to be healthy using energy, using thought, using belief. But in the times we're living in, we're moving back into those teachings. But we still have a long way to go, and we're coming out of a time when we were kept in the dark, and that's what I believe it means to be kept in the dark, to not know your power, to not understand that you create your reality and you have so much power to make your life better and healthier. And but unfortunately, people are walking around wearing a blindfold, feeling like a victim because they've never learned that they have the power. And quite often they're taught that they don't have the power.
You know, it's so funny. I even look back on just how many years ago, decades ago rather, it was just cowboys and Indians even recent, you know? And I'm thinking, antiquated that seems, you know, in this day and age, yet it wasn't that far back in our lineage, yes?
Actually, we, you know, it was yesterday in our lineage, if you think of how old the Earth really is and people really are. But even the Native American population, the Indian population, was more advanced than we are, way more advanced than we are, because they were in tune with nature and the Earth.
Yeah, because if you even look at it back at times of the pyramids and everything, all those times of enlightenment and everything, we think, what happened to the people? Did we lose part of our brain? You know, are we not thinking in the same realm? You know what I mean? In other words, humans have become so spiritually enlightened and so advanced, and then kind of like all of a sudden we dropped off the end of the cliff. And we had to learn how to, you know, just to protect ourselves or build cities or whatever from trees around us, you know? Let's talk, Jan, a little bit about how someone can say, I'm just not feeling well and I'm not real sure, but I think there's something else out there. I think the first clue when someone is looking for energy help is when they say, I don't know, but I think there's something else. When they use that phrase, you kind of have an idea, okay, the door's been opened somewhere, and then they start to walk through it, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's, the question is where it begins. That's one beginning. Pain is another beginning.
Yeah, you're motivated with pain, but you're still running. You know what I mean? And with the other one, it's kind of like you're inspired or you're inquisitive or something like that, you know?
Yes, you are. You're opening up. But
with
pain, you might stay stuck. But a lot of times, for instance, people that come to me, they may have had pain and been to doctor after doctor after doctor who can't find a reason. Fibromyalgia is a perfect example. Can't find a reason for their pain. You know, then they'll give it a label, like fibromyalgia, which is not, even from my perspective, a real disease. In fact, I was talking to a doctor a couple of weeks ago who said to me, well, that's not even a real disease. I said, I know, it's an energy disease. So, you know, eventually they'll get to the point where they'll throw their hands up or, like you say, lie down on the ground and look up and say, please, show me, help me. Where is the answer here? There must be something more.
Yeah, because you get that crazy feeling that you just got. You have to know that there's something more. Do you know what I mean? In other words, you get this feeling where you could say, this can't be all there is, right?
Exactly, and don't forget, we all have a soul in there. There is that part of us that is trying to come through consciously, that higher self part of you that wants to say, there's something more here, but it lets us run out the gamut of trial and error and until we come to that point, as you say, where we finally open up and say, oh, I think there's something more. I just don't know what it is, but there's got to be something more.
Yeah, and I love when that happens because it's sort of like, fantastic, what are you thinking, you know? What's out there? What do you want to check? And it's the best place, right?
Well, the search begins, and that's the journey, and that's the beautiful part of where you turn the corner.
Let's talk a little bit, Jan. Can you share about how someone can say, okay, I don't know what, I'm throwing up my hands, I just don't know. And when they come to you, where do you start?
Well, I usually will start by saying, for what reason did you call me? Do you know why you called me?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really good to be mindful of how you feel and where where you feel off. Now, I don't always, in fact, I usually don't say go into all your physical ailments because I'd rather go in cold, but I will say to them, did you call me because you have a physical problem, or did you call me because there's a specific area of your life that you want to explore? Because don't forget, I do the medical intuitive diagnostic scanning and the guided healing work, but I also just do questions and answers. I channel from the spirit guides and the angels. And so oftentimes somebody will be questioning and the guides will channel through how they can search for their answers and grow and begin to grow. Meditation is always number one on the list. That comes through all the time. I don't think I've ever had a reading where the guides didn't mention meditation. Because it's so important to get out of your left brain, out of the knowledge that you've been taught, and back into your core, to connecting with your core.
Yeah, and I think, don't you think sometimes people will say, but isn't this going to take a lot of work, or how do you think you're going to help me when, you know, they have a disconnect in their mind. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to form that bridge between where they've been and where you're trying to take them. How do you sometimes speak with clients to be able to build that bridge?
I don't know that that's my objective.
Well, I think sometimes, like, people will say, I'm afraid of it, you're going to get into something I don't know, or you're going to do this woo-woo. I mean, I'll cut this part out, but I'm just going to share it for a second. But then, like, I know, like, when people said to me, hey, you're a voodoo priestess, and I freaked out, you know, but I didn't realize that actually I was. So do you know what I'm saying? You know? But I think it's sometimes, how do they bridge that label, you know?
I don't get approached that way. If they call me, they know they have questions that they want answered, mm-hmm. or they've got a health problem. They don't necessarily understand what I do, and I explain to them what I do, and I tell them that when we scan your energy field, it will tell you the whys and the wherefores of what's going on with you. I tell them what blocks on the energy field are, some form of stored negative energy that then is a point of attraction for more people and events to make you feel that same kind of negative emotion or trauma again. Mm-hmm. And this can throw you off balance in life. And so let's see what you're holding on your field. Let's see what needs to be released. And then I always, somewhere in our sessions, the guides will channel through how important it is that they be mindful of their thoughts and they have the power to create with positive energy. And they have to start paying attention to their thoughts and their beliefs and notice the negative ones and dispel mm-hmm. them and increase the positive ones so they create a good, strong, positive field of attraction. So it is a learning process. My sessions are completely a learning process, but people that come to me will know where they're off in their life or what they want to achieve, and I never determine what they want to achieve. They need to know, and that's why my work is so effective, because they're ready when they come to me.
Yeah, I think the idea that if you don't have faith, trust, and hope, something of something more out there. I always say on the show, we don't get dropped from storks, you know. You don't need to go duck when you go outside, because that's not how we got here and that's not how we stay here. That there's so much more to the universe, the energy, the world, and so much that we don't know. But we have to have faith, hope, and trust that we are safe, that we're secure, that we're loved, that we're cared for, that we're able to exist in the world, that we're able to help others, that others will help us. In other words, that all of these ways in which we are engaged in the world around us all support each other. It's just when we get off track and we start to kind of build up resistance to the process or build up anger, hurt, and pain, that we kind of get like stopped, you know? And that's really what you're talking about, is you're kind of finding those areas in the body and the energetic being is that kind of it's almost like a plug in the sink where water can go through, but, you know, everything doesn't fall into the garbage disposal kind of idea. So it kind of just blocks it up as pain. It'll block it up as something isn't working right. And those are signals that you look for, right?
Right. And the energy field is a filter. And so, as you said, the anger and the hurt, grief, resentment, betrayal, they can get stuck in that filter and not necessarily find their way out, and they can sit there for many, many, many years to where you're not even thinking about it anymore. You can hardly even relate or remember the event, but yet the plugs are all there. I like to say the pipes are all clogged up, and the flow,
right,
the life force can't get through. But when you talk about this, you say you need to have hope and you need to have faith and trust. And what I say is life is a choice. It's a free will zone.
Right.
And that this experiment, this human experiment is all about, or human experience is all about choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the mystery here. That's what
right.
we don't realize. We don't know that every moment, every second, we're making a choice to feel beyond hopeful, to feel joy, to feel healthy, to see the positive side of things, to just keep making that choice. Because we do get angry, we are human, we do get hurt. But if you understand that it's toxic to you, it becomes a point of attraction moving forward. To stay in that energy, you can quickly make a choice to move out of it. You go through it, you feel it, you express it, get it out of your system, and then recognize that it's just too toxic. This is like taking a poison pill. So I'm just going to move on.
Right. And
move
I think sometimes... Sometimes when I was saying about the hope and faith is also the idea that people say, but if I let go of that or look at what happened to me when I did or didn't, that idea of, I don't like to use the word victim or codependent all the time because I think that's really a shame and a guilt kind of issue. But really it's about that you may have gone through an experience or you may have something attracted to you. And to turn around and consistently putting labels on it really ends up giving it an identity that it becomes almost like a monster in the closet kind of idea versus being able to say, I see it, I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm hurting, I'm this, I'm that. And as you said, move through it when the time appears is such a, those are way two different conversations, right?
They are. Well, firstly, giving a label to something like an illness definitely solidifies it. It makes it real.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep focusing on it and talking about it is just to keep bringing it into your now and bringing it into your now. And if in the now moment you are feeling sad, for instance,
right.
you know, go into it. Allow yourself, okay, I'm feeling sad. Why am I feeling sad? Oh, okay, I'm going to allow myself to feel this way for a little while, but really, is it my choice to stay in sadness? No, I don't think so. So then you start thinking about what would you prefer? What would you rather think about that feels good? Do I feel
right.
good or do I feel bad? If I'm feeling bad, you know, I have the ability to change my focus and get myself to feel good. Maybe I'll just put on some really up music. You know, that'll make me feel good. Or I'll go eat something that, you know, ice cream
mm-hmm.
or something. It's
mm-hmm.
not good for you, but it makes you feel good. You know what? Maybe that's why people are so heavy right now, because they constantly are needing to go out there to feel good. I had an interesting thing come up in a reading a couple of days ago. I was on the phone with a client, and the guide said, to ask him, does he keep the news on in the background all day long? And he said yes. And the guide said to me, well, that's putting out an energy of complaining, of constantly
mm-hmm.
of putting out what's gone wrong, what's gone wrong, what's gone wrong. And even if you're not in the room and it's on, the television or the broadcast is on, the words are still putting out a vibrational energy of what's wrong rather than what's right.
You know, it's interesting when you said that, because I had a musician on my show before, and he said he couldn't understand. He does frequency music, the solfeggio frequencies, and he said he couldn't understand why musicians would not tune all their instruments to these frequencies, because then the people would be attracted to it. They would feel good, and it will further give, you know, a great benefit to listening to the music in the first place, when really a lot of musicians are really tuning their instruments to a lower frequency where people are kind of downtrodden, telling the old story, sappy kind of stuff, you know, and they kind of like get sucked into a hole. You know how sometimes after a breakup people will listen to a certain kind of music and they'll just kind of stay in there, you know, and they just can't get themselves out, you know?
Oh, yes, it's sad and it's lost and it's forlorn. And even this client, he said, sometimes I keep on classical music. And what came through was, well, is it classical music that makes you just want to cry?
Right.
Or is it uplifting classical music? So, again, it comes down to being mindful of what you're surrounding yourself by.
Right.
You know, who would think that just having, the TV on in another room is going to affect your life? But it does, according to the guides.
And also, too, though, the music, these certain frequencies really does alter your body. And really, if you're doing the energy body, these certain tones can change the structure of your being. I know when I listen to them, every time I have them on the radio show, we laugh about it. And I says, oh, my gosh, I just cannot listen to anything under 600. Can't do it for no way. I've got to listen to the 9 something or others. I just have to stay up there. And if I listen to the 9s all the time, it's like, oh, that's my heaven music. But when I listen to even the 4s that are the heart tune, it's like, it's just such a dissonance. It feels low. And I'm like, oh, I got to get up. I got to get up. I got to move higher. And it feels so different.
Yeah, everything is frequency, and you do feel it. And it does change you because, you know, there's entrainment. You just start to resonate along the frequency, and the whole idea, if you want to feel good, is to get to that high frequency. So and music is very important, and that's the difference between just music and healing music.
Right. It does make a difference. And I think really that's a perfect example. What I just shared is about how energy can be changed if it's coming along in a frequency in music, and you're also working with the body and clearing energies that are of a lower vibration. That's really what we're talking about today, is the energy body. We're stuck where it's working efficiently and how you can learn to flow with it, yes?
Absolutely. I think the work I do is really some kind of sound frequency that I'm picking up, some kind of ultra sound frequency. I mean, I know it's a subatomic level, but I always say it feels like a sonic. I don't even know what to call it. You know, like just like sound waves, like when you're looking at weather on TV. You know, radar, like sonic radar. When I'm looking at the energy field. But I know it's sound frequency, and I know that the blocks are just a low, dense, slow frequency.
Right.
And, you know, I'll tell you, when I'm scanning, it's interesting because there are two things that really slow down the scanner bar and just make it go extra slow.
Mm-hmm.
And that means the life force is going that slow. One is heavy medication.
Mm-hmm.
Pharmaceuticals, and the other is soda pop.
Yeah.
Now, most people don't drink soda pop anymore, but when you do, I can pick it up probably for months after you've taken it or after you've ingested it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting because I have an acquaintance who drinks 2 liters a day, and I know this person is resonating almost at a probably if you said on a scale of 1 to 100, it's got to be a 0.5. Because you can almost touch their body, and there is no, you know, when you can touch someone's body or brush by them or go by them and you can feel their energy. Well, this person has what I've always called it's just zone, zen, dead, whatever you want to call it. You know, I don't want to use too many labels,
low
but
life
there
force.
Just wasn't one.
Yeah, low life force. And the heavy medications will do that as well as soda pop absolutely will do that to you because when I begin a session, I pick up the person's energy. I blend
and
feel the energy. And sometimes it's just, okay, I'm waiting just to get their energy. Yeah. Unfortunately, very few people drink soda pop anymore, and that's not good for Coca-Cola, but it's great for the world.
Yeah. And also, too, I think sometimes our life force is in our foods, you know, and what we have around us. Right. You know, when people say, I made you really great food, I left it in the refrigerator, you can heat it up the next day. So to me, it's already been cooked, it's sitting, and then you want me to put it in a microwave. It's like, no. Unless
right.
I'm making it and I'm going to eat it, it's not going to happen, you know,
right.
Because it's just not going to. And because you can almost feel and sense it. I'm sure people, what we're talking about today is about how to feel energy, how to know what your energy is, and how to recognize energy in the world around you. And what we're talking about is, let's say you go into a room and a baby is born. You can feel the electricity in the room. You know, you can almost feel like your skin is just jumping and
right.
everything is uplifting. You go into a room when someone is at end of life, it's totally different. The energy is almost no frequency. It's dark, it's dreary, and it's very heavy to carry. You can feel the energy. So really what we're saying is that can you feel the energy around you? And which do you choose? Do you want to be of lower or higher? Most people would say higher, and they would say, okay, now let's look at the parts of your life that are supporting higher energy and ones that are not. And I think even when they work with you, Jan, is that they also choose to be able to take it forth. It's not that they work with you and, hey, their life is hunky-dory, and they go right back to what they were doing. It's about being aware of how you are engaged with people around you and what you're doing, correct?
Absolutely correct, and not just being aware of how you're interrelating to the people around you or relating to the people around you, but how you're relating to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. So there could be nobody in your life, and you could be just really living a high vibrational frequency because it's all choice and choice of perception and choice of feeling. You have to be in touch with what you feel, as you were saying. You have to be sensitive. You have to pay attention. A lot of
right.
people don't even pay attention to how they feel. They're just
right.
on automatic. It's like, you know, being in the car and putting it on automatic, and it just runs on its own.
Yeah, it's just so many are out of touch, or perhaps they've just not had a chance to experience it. Or for someone to say, just as you and I are saying today, is these are examples of how you're going to become engaged in life as it's evolving. And that's what we're saying, is that there aren't really teachers or schools out there that are teaching this right now. What we're doing is we're sharing, we're creating a ripple effect. It's about saying, start noticing things around you. Start saying, oh, my skin is crawling. Oh, it's hurting. Oh, it feels tight. It feels heavy. It feels light. And then you collectively will start having conversations and being able to say, this is how we are now choosing to live, how we're choosing to use our words, how we're choosing to engage in good things and using the best choice available, right?
Absolutely, exactly. You know, there are a lot of people who I'll say to them, well, how do you feel? How does this feel? How does that feel? And they'll say, well, I think. And I'll say, no, how do you feel? And they'll go, well, I think.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And it's very telling that they're using their brain, not their gut, not their core. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes they're just programmed to function from their brain, being a mental person. But your feelings are your barometer. That's
right.
How you know if you're happy, if you're not happy, if you feel good, if this is where the direction you want to go, if it's working for you or not working for you. Logically, if you depend on logic, you're going to go down the wrong path. So,
yeah, or if you depend on or if you depend on history also, right?
Well, history is a perspective. And truth be told, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are saying our history is absolutely untruthful. It's written by those, again, that would like to corral us into thinking a certain way. And people are always trying to rewrite history to a new perspective. But I'm one of those people that believes we really don't know our true history at all.
Right. It definitely makes a difference when you say, you know, I've been tired of carrying that stuff around. I'm so good to let it go. I think after a session with you, you know, people will feel lighter. People will feel that some things just don't hurt as much. You will say, I never really realized how heavy that load was that I was carrying. And also, too, they'll say, gosh, you know, stuff I've been worrying about or things that have been bothering me just, quote, disappear. Right.
Well, they do. They absolutely do. That's exactly what they say. The cords on the energy field can be very, very powerful. Just cutting one significant cord can affect massive change in a person's life. I've seen it time and time again. And we cut a lot of cords, but there are certain ones that are just much more effective when you cut them than others. And also, they're much more effective in pulling you down and destroying your life, too, when they're there.
Right. So, Jan, in closing, can you share a little bit more about when someone comes, is it 10 minutes? Is it an hour? Is it 3 hours? Does it take care of everything and you're good to go? Does it wipe the slate clean? Or are you like 65, 70 years old and all of a sudden you feel like you're 20, right? Those are a lot of questions I think I get a lot of times.
Well, everybody's different. My sessions run an hour. It's all done over the telephone. I connect with spirit guides and angels. And just so you know, the reason I do it over the phone exclusively is because I feel I need the detachment in order to go to the deep levels that I go to. And when I'm sitting there across the table, it's easy to do a question and answer session, but when I'm doing right. medical intuitive, I really need that detachment so I'm not looking at the physical person because I'm connecting with the guides and I'm seeing the energy field. So it does take an hour. The first session is usually a diagnostic session where I diagram out all of the blocks on the energy field and will tell somebody what they are, where they came from, what they're about. Sometimes they'll get advice on how to clear them, like cutting cords. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my clients choose to then do follow-up guided healing sessions with me. Depending upon how complex the blocks are and the diagram looks, sometimes it can be cleared in one session. Now, somebody who's worked with me before and comes back years later, usually we can scan and do guided healing in one session and be done with it because they're not carrying that much. But if somebody comes to me and they've never cleaned the energy field and they're 50 or 60 years old, they're not going to be able to clear a lifetime full of garbage, basically, because that's what it is. It's the kind of things that are stuck in the filter. And you can't clear that in one session. So sometimes it takes three, sometimes it takes six. They're hour sessions, the guided healing sessions, and they're all done over the phone. And I don't do the healing. It's not like a Reiki energy healing. I guide my client through the process. I literally take them with me to see and feel what's there and guide them through the process of cleaning it up and clearing it from their field as well as cutting the cords. And so by the time we get to the end of whether it's three sessions or six sessions, is it all cleaned up? The original diagram may be all cleaned up. Sometimes things will surface through. So a lot of people like to take a monthly session after that, maybe for another six sessions, and we'll be able to see if they're adding things along the way or sometimes we haven't totally gotten everything and it'll bubble up from the depths. So everybody's different. But primarily, you can get about 80, 85% of everything in the first batch of sessions, maybe even 90, 95%.
And then what it also does, too, is it helps you to be able to interact in the world around you in a whole different other way, and also, too, to not have so much fear around what might be coming up or what might have passed or something that you'd be afraid to let go of. It just seems to flow better, right?
absolutely does. And I haven't mentioned fragments yet either. You know, I have those two recordings, Cutting Cords, mm-hmm. are available on my website, and the Heal Your Fragments. And sometimes we have fragments that, they're usually childhood fragments from trauma in the past when we were growing up, and a part of our spirit just breaks off and gets stuck in that time frame and relives those traumatic emotions in a loop. And those fragments can actually control our emotions, and we don't even know it. So sometimes we don't understand why we're feeling fearful or we're feeling sad, and it's the fragments who are taking over. And through the guided healing sessions, they often will surface. And so we can work with the fragments, too, to release the fragments, because when you bring up fear, a lot of times it isn't the adult person who's in fear. It's the fragment. It's the childhood fragment who's bringing that into your life.
And that does make a huge difference, and it's a lot of the unconscious work, too, and allowing and trusting again that all will be well, and that's really the goal, is all will be well.
And if you keep affirming that, then you will be drawn to whatever it takes, whoever the healer is, to get you to that place of peace and joy and health.
And isn't that the goal anyway, right?
It is. Well. I'm not sure that that's always the goal for people, because I know they want to be out of pain. But they don't mm-hmm. always want to do the work that it takes
right.
on themselves, the
right.
release work, and the change in habit. Habits
mm-hmm.
can be very strong. Negative energy and complaining can be a very strong habit, and
mm-hmm.
some people feed off of it. And so
yeah.
their goal is not always to heal. I think their goal is to be pain-free, but sometimes their goal is to have more to complain about or somebody to complain to.
It's all a different paradigm. So many people on so many different levels, and that's really about being able to meet those that we are able to help when they're ready and being able to accomplish that, and
mm-hmm.
for them to be able to share with others on how they feel or how things might be changing for them, and that will be the ripple effect going forward.
Can you share,
Jeanne, about how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Oh, sure. I have a website, Jan Merrill, JanMerryl.com. It's pretty much all there on the website. They can contact me. My phone number's on there. My email is on there. The two recordings are on there, as well as my book, Energy 101, The Key to Understanding Holistic Health.
Well, Jan, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today. I think the conversation, it might be new to some, but it might be something that will just really attract people and say, oh, man, I'm just so ready for this. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a joy, as always, talking with you. The conversation is always very interesting and lively and appropriate for the times, I think.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time. If you'd like to find out more information about Jan Merrill, again, please do check out her website. The link is on the bottom of today's show page, and you go directly to her website. And do check it out, because she has a lot of information on there. There are a lot of recordings on there. There's a lot of stuff that you can say, I don't understand it, but I'm definitely interested. And if you were guided to be there, check it out. See, find out more information and listen to this show again and say, you know, maybe there's something to it, and give Jan a call, and I'm sure she'd be happy to help you. So thank you so much for today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.